Welcome into the VGK Insider Show. Chris Chapman live at the Golden Circle TI Sportsbook at the TI down here on the Strip. And love this place. So much going on here. We got so much college basketball up on the screens right now. Looking at the Pots of Luck, of course, St. Patrick's Day will be the next Vegas Golden Knights home game. Pots of Luck slot machine, maybe bringing a little luck to the Golden Knights. And we'll start off with a little maybe surprise to the listeners, but I'm being joined by the guy whose name is on the show.
Check.
Not Ryan Wallace, but Darren Millard. What's up, Darren?
1, 2, check. Is this working? I'm just checking if this is working. Hello.
Yeah, I think we're working. How are you?
I've been here for a month, and nobody's potted up my microphone.
My fault, I think.
I've just been sitting here talking, and nobody's put me on the air. I don't know what's happening. Hey, Chappie, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Great to hear from you. We caught a little bit of you on Monday with Tomáš Hertl.
Yes.
Of course, on Nighttime at Noon. So we teased the listeners a little bit, and they're only going to get a little bit of you today, only about 20 minutes or so. But
I think it's getting a little better every day with the
voice. Well, I think that's good.
My voice therapist tells me that we might be back to normal maybe next week. So hopefully. So not going to push it a little bit each day. I wanted to be back Monday, but it wasn't very good after Nighttime at Noon. So we'll work our way into this. But it's great to be back with you. I've missed you guys. I've been listening, and I've been proud of everything that you guys have done. And looking forward to be backing with Ryan when he returns to the program when he gets healthy and is back. But you've been putting in the time, pal.
Yeah. Last night filled in as the host of this show, and then the pre, post, and intermission reports. And what a wild game that was. Mike, who calls in all the time, he reminded me of the St. Louis game back in February of 2020, where Zach Sanford had 4 goals. It was about as wild as that one. Yeah. No one with 4 goals, but a really fun game to watch, and so many highlights.
Is that
and
the
of
one
course,
where Chandler Stephenson went end to end to score
in overtime.
Yeah.
That game.
Well, that was sort of his coming out moment as a Golden Knight, actually.
Yeah. It definitely was. Marsh just so had the winner in that overtime game. Stephenson had a winner in another. They've always seemed to play wild games against the Blues early on in the history of the Golden Knights. But yeah, that was the one where Zach Sanford had 4 goals. He had the hat trick, not natural, but and then plus one, gave St. Louis the lead in the third period with his 4th goal, and Alex Tuck tied it up from John Merrill and Chandler Stephenson and Marc Chessault from Pacioretty, and who else but Mark Stone wins it for the Golden Knights. Pacioretty had 2 goals in that game as well. So Marc Chessault and Pacioretty both with 2 goals.
Marc Chessault with 2 more goals. That's 5 in the last 2 games. He's now on a 46-goal pace, which would is breaking a record by 3 goals, smashing it. I dare say so. That would break William Karlsson's record for most goals in a season. And what he's been able to do has been remarkable. Remember, he never scored more than 30 in his career. Now he's got 37, so he's got something going. I was really happy Jack got something out of last night, because I thought against Vancouver he was arguably the best player in the game on both teams, even though Vancouver won that game. He was just fantastic, and 3 points the hat trick night for Jonathan Marchessault, and then the 3 points last night, including the game winner. So that was fantastic. And Aiden Hill finding a way to win these games, which it wasn't textbook, and it wasn't a shutout, but I think it gives him some confidence, because they're really trying to get him on a roll in these final 20 games to be able to hit the Stanley Cup playoffs with all kinds of confidence. And you heard Bruce Cassidy say this week that it's not as much about the process right now, about the result, and then they'll worry about the process as they dial in their game. And these last 2 games has been pretty incredible result.
Yeah, facing adversity in both games. Of course, the Detroit game twice with the lead, twice Detroit ties it up, and then who else? Jonathan Marchessault puts the team on his shoulders in that third period with the big goal, and then of course the empty net goal to ice it. And then last night, Marchessault with 16.8 seconds to go. And I think you guys put the statistic up on the post-game show last night. First Golden Knight with 5 goals in 2 games.
Yeah, and he has been awesome with the 3 hat tricks this year, which is a Golden Knight record. And there was another stat, Jack Eichel becoming the 4th player to score his 200th goal in overtime. So Dino Cicerelli was one of those first player to ever do it. So, yeah, all kinds of history last night. And lost in all of the comebacks, Chris, and all of the heroics by Jonathan Marchessault is the fact that they've managed to score 5 goals in each of the last 2 games. So you don't want to be in a situation where you're outscoring mistakes, but they're putting up enough goals consistently to be able to walk out of these games with 2 points and getting that offense going again, where you don't have to be perfect in your own zone, and they haven't been certainly, but they've got a lineup that resembles what we're used to, what Bruce Cassidy anticipated and what he was able to use at the start of the year up front with the Marchessault line and Jack and Barbashev and the Chandler Stephenson unit with Brett Howden, his winger from last year's Stanley Cup playoffs, and a guy that plays a lot like Mark Stone in Anthony Mantha, and William Karlsson out there doing his thing with Pavel Dorofeev, and the chemistry of Michael Mathieu, and then the 4th line with Nick Waugh and Keegan Kolesar right now, and hopefully if things progress the way they're trending, Will Carrier back tomorrow night. You've got your not a lineup, obviously, because Hurdle's not in there and Stone's not back and Martinez is out in the back end, but you're a heck of a lot closer right now than you were a week and a half ago, and I think that bodes well as well. The continuity, right? We had a graphic last night where Vegas has, since 2017, the third most number of players that are still with the team. And with 6. So it gives you an idea that they love to keep the team together and they've done a great job on that side. But the continuity of the players from last year's Stanley Cup playoffs in more recent times has really come to the present day prominence in the last 5 games.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point about Bruce talking about the results are what matter now and we'll find our game later. Are you of the belief that when William Carrier returns to the lineup, that's when this team will start to define their identity and start to find their game?
No, I think they've already started it. I really believe that that kicked off with Jack's return. And they did not win the first 2 games with Jack's return, but it allowed the centermen to slot back in where they wanted everybody. And Chandler Stephenson went from the wing into the center, and it just gave you that identity, which is a big part of the guys down the middle of this forward core. And I think that's really where it started. Now, since then, in the last 4 games, starting with Jack, they've added a new player every game, whether it's Mantha and Hanifin and last night Brett Howden. Hopefully tomorrow night with William Carrier. So you're getting healthier. And defensively, you might have some issues tracking things and defending when you're adding a new player every game. It's not going to be perfect. But I think this team has taken a major step forward since the return of Jack and then subsequently following through with different other bolstered members of the lineup.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about Aiden Hill there earlier in the segment, and I think based on what I've seen in the last few games, and last night was tough because I think it was a sloppy game in a lot of aspects, so really tough to pinpoint how well Aiden played last night. But I thought the 2 previous games, Vancouver and Detroit, Aiden started to find his game a little bit. You could see the confidence coming back, him leaning back against the goal and just looking a little relaxed. And I thought that last night it was tough.
Been there.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, it was one of those things. And I wonder if he was in the back of his mind, you come back from injury, you get injured right away, and then you go back on the list and you come back. If maybe there was a little doubt that crept in, but it seems like these last couple of nights, Aiden Hill has started to really, really find his game and start to be the goaltender that we saw last year in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I think you might be projecting a little bit some of your feelings or what you're seeing from the overall team onto Aiden Hill. I don't think he gets flustered or out of his element or questions his confidence at all. One area that I will agree with you, if you want to go down that path, probably the most in-game frustrated that I've seen him was the Columbus game. And that was one where just it was like he couldn't get a break, whether he was screened or there was odd man rushes, and he just couldn't track the puck as well as he would like. And it wasn't necessarily his fault. But since then, I don't think he's let in a bad goal. And I think that the Vancouver game, there was a cross up in front, which was kind of weird, broken, odd play. The Detroit game, there was a couple of deflections, and then the 2-on-0, a backhand on a 2-on-0. Who keeps the puck? It's very selfish. That's what I say in my rec league, my men's league. If you're on a 2-on-0 and you keep, that's very selfish. You should never do that, even though it's probably the right decision most times. And then last night, I go through it. There's four goals allowed, but nothing of the soft variety. So I think he's trending in the right direction. He certainly would like to fine tune his game a little bit more. Can he be better? Yes, for sure. And he's going to get that opportunity. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play tomorrow night. I think that they're really pushing this, getting him into a groove, and then next, then they play eight games in 14 days in the next 2 weeks. So Logan Thompson's going to get his look in there. But I think there's some progress with Aiden, which kind of goes with the Vancouver game forward that I've been happy with his makeup and his approach.
Yeah.
There was a stretch, right, Chapman, where it felt like there was one goal a game between the two of them, whoever was the starting goaltender, over a 5-6 game stretch, where you want that one, another look at that one. You'd play that one differently. And over the last three, whether it's the Vancouver game or the victories over Detroit and Seattle, where I think that's been largely erased.
Yeah, and the Detroit game I thought was maybe his best in this little stretch, because the three goals he gave up, I mean, I don't think there was any of them that were on him. Like the two tips, I mean, just great plays by Detroit. You give them credit, and you know, Moritz Seider with two missiles off his stick from the blue line tipped. And then the third goal was a bit of bad luck where Keegan Kolesar loses an edge, takes out Nick Waugh, and then Zach Whitecloud does everything right in blocking a shot and takes him down, and it ends up basically being a 5-on-2. I don't care who you are, it's going to be tough to stop that. But I thought he played really well in that game. I thought he was good in the Vancouver game, and last night I thought he made the stops he needed to, and we saw the team claw back. It was one of those wins where I don't know if they, like you mentioned, and I think maybe the process we're not entirely thrilled with, but I think it was a gutsy win, and I think it was a win where it's almost like a momentum building win, because you're looking at the way you were down in that third period, and you come back and score three straight goals to win a game against a team like the Kraken, who are desperate for every single point that they can get at this point of season. And it was a gutsy performance,
well,
especially in that third period.
Season was on the line in the third period, and they played like it. And yeah, kind of a Bjorkstrand score. And would you like to be able to get in front of that? Well, last night was as much of a team win as you can expect. The club bailed Aiden out in the third period after he allowed three in a row, and whether they're good, bad, or ugly, he allowed three in a row, and they got him to overtime. And in late in regulation and in overtime, Aiden Hill bailed the team out with some big saves and gave them the opportunity to win. So I think both sides can be pretty happy with what they did and very appreciative of of the other department of the hockey club that gave them an opportunity to put up a W.
Yeah, and what I liked about the game the most was maybe the response. You give up that third goal, and a minute later, William Karlsson, he responds with I'm not going to say the biggest goal of the season for the Golden Knights, but a big goal, because I think
he was their best
in the moment.
Last night, man. He was their best
player. Yeah, he was good. He was amazing. And in that moment, you need your best players to step up and make plays. And I know you got the goal from Dorofeev, and you got some depth scoring against Detroit. But in those pivotal moments, you need your best players to step up. And last night, Golden Knights down two goals in that third period, and their best players, they stepped up big time.
You know, it was the timing of the goal, too, that you score that goal to get you within one, and there's enough time on the clock where it's not panic time. You don't have to squeeze the stick. It's just we're back within one. We got 6 minutes. Let's go, and we can really work at this. So I thought that was great as well on that side of it. And it was a hammer time shot. Like he reeled that thing off an unbelievable feed off the fake slap shot and pass from Braden McNabb, who's closing in on his career high for points in the season. You were talking about last night in the postgame show about the assists, but he's well within reach of reaching his career high of 24 points in a season, now over 20. So that's great. He deserves some credit. But Karlsson, a bit of a, I don't know where you go, fluky, but fortunate assist. And he did end up getting an assist on
I was going to wonder why he didn't get this when it was initially scored.
On the TV side saying, I don't. If you can tell me, because I watched it four times after, if you can tell me that definitively that he didn't touch that puck on the faceoff, then you've got better eyes than me. I know he broke a stick, but he deserved one, and he did get one. So, but he was just all over it all night, and that's where you're starting to see that depth and everybody in their right spot starting to come and play. Anthony Mantha filling in as sort of the Mark Stone type body and player. I'm not going to repeat exactly what Mark Stone is, but I think he gets more comfortable with Chandler and Brett Howden. That'll be great as well, and you'll see some progress. But Karlsson and Marchessault, and remember that continuity that I talked about. They got six players from year number one still, including Zach McLeod, who played at the end of that season. And those two guys were the guys carrying the mail last night, and not to be downplaying what Marchessault did, because scoring the tying goal, the first goal was great too, but the tying goal. Do you think Chandler Stephenson meant to tip that puck, by the way, over with the net empty and the goal with 17 seconds to go?
I want to say he did.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like I want to say it. I just don't know whether I think he was trying to tip it on net,
yeah,
and it probably went over, if I'm going to be totally honest, which I try to do with you all the time and the listeners all the time. I think he was trying to deflect it on net, and it ended up going over to Jonathan Marchessault. So I'll have to get Ashley Weiss to ask Chandler Stephenson tomorrow before the Calgary game to see exactly what he was thinking there. Now, with my luck, with my relationship with Chandler, because Chandler loves to bust me. He just loves to kick it on me. We have this fun relationship, especially when I'm practicing with him, and he's laughing at me. With my luck, he'll say, "Yeah, I totally intended to do that," but I just think 17 seconds ago, you're trying to get every puck to the net. He was probably trying to tip it, but it was a fortuitous bounce, and I love that too. Like I think Vegas is really starting to buy into the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. When I went through every goal, which the VGK put out on VegasGoldenKnights.com and Nighttime Plus, they had every goal, and I watched it a couple of times. You're reminded how many goals are scored in and around the net, or just by getting pucks to the net, and that tying goal was a big example of that.
Yeah, and if you listen to Bruce in his postgame pressers the way we do, that's something he wants, right? Like he wants guys in front of the net, and that's why he really likes a guy like Pavel Dorofeev, who gets to the tough areas of the ice. And when you listen to Jack Eichel talk about him in the post game, and you hear Jonathan Marchessault, the things that they're saying is he knows how to he has really good instincts. He knows how to get to those areas of the ice.
Look at Marchessault. He's got 37 goals. Marchessault in the past was a shot mentality, which is great, or off the rush scoring goals. He has dramatically improved his ability to score from in tight and in front of the net. And part of that is by getting there. And he's been a big benefactor of that mentality. Along with Dorotiev.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't think it's a surprise that he's now scored more goals than he's ever scored in his career. He's still the same player, but he's just getting a little more creative in the ways that he's scoring goals, and none bigger than the tying goal. I mean, this is a team that I think admittedly had struggled with the 6-on-5 for a large part of the season. So I think that was a confidence boost when you get that goal with 16.8 seconds to go. And then Jack Eichel, who had played really good since coming back from injury but was kind of missing that goal, was a huge goal for him as well, not just for the team to win the game, but I think for his confidence going forward. I mean,
how about the sequence, Chapman?
Well, I wanted to ask you,
and Petro takes a shot and hits the post, and he thought he scored because he was
His stick.
He was pointing at the net and talking to the referee. So they go. Ends up being a 600-foot play because they went down the ice and Petro hits the post. The play reverses and heads to the Vegas zone, and Aiden Hill comes up with back-to-back big saves, and the lungs and legs are burning on Alex Pietrangelo. And somehow it was Carlson and Jack, right?
They're
out there. And honestly, all Petro's doing is, one, trying to get it out of the zone, and then just flipping it down and saying, if you guys got anything left, go get it. He led them like a receiver would, in a quarterback and a receiver would. And he just flips it out. And I don't even know whether Petro was still on the ice when the puck went in because he was going to change. But that was like a 600 up, down, and back with that shift. But it was an amazing sequence for Vegas. What an overtime.
Yeah, and that's what we were just talking about. You need your star players to make big plays in big moments, and I think that's a defining play by Alex Pietrangelo, a guy who I have said multiple times has maybe been the MVP of the team with how many minutes he's logged and how much he's put in and how much he's put out for this team this year. But that was I think one of the biggest plays I've seen Pietrangelo make as a member of this organization, and he's made a lot.
Million-dollar flipper, baby. Million-dollar
flipper. Yeah, I mean, that's
a lot of strain on you.
Because Dan and Gary were talking about it last night after the game, and Seattle, they seemed to be objecting to something on that goal. I'm not quite sure what it was. I mean, there was no offside. It was very clear that there was no offside. But what could they have possibly been arguing after the game? I mean, we saw Bjorkstrand destroy his stick on the boards after the goal. We saw him throw his stick back out on the ice, but they were protesting something. And
I think it was a missed stoppage, puck bouncing off hand. That's what I think it was.
They're
arguing about. But it struck me in overtime last night what Bruce Cassidy has to deploy on the back end. You always put out one defense. Well, you know, always Minnesota. Pull their goalie and put up four forwards.
That was incredible.
And that talk about different decisions that give your team life. That's boosted them. But right now, Bruce Cassidy on the back end, he started with Shea, then went Noah, and followed up with Alex Pietrangelo. Like, usually teams just rotate two defensemen in overtime because that it's 3-on-3 and it's all kinds of ice. But they've got incredible opportunity there with their back end. It was great. Now you look at the schedule ahead, and you've got Calgary, a team that got beat pretty good last night, and they've got Noah Hanifin coming back last night or tomorrow night, they're a team that is probably feeling a little sorry for themselves and disappointed where they are right now. They're not going to make the playoffs. Then you go into the homestand next week, where you've got an opportunity to take advantage of the New Jersey Devils in much the same situation. Seattle, who knows whether they'll not officially be out, but basically last night they dealt them a blow. And Columbus, mixed in there is Tampa Bay. But you got an opportunity to put a nice little stretch together before things turn around for a difficult road trip.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I mean, the team that's coming in here on Sunday is a team that I know pretty well, and it's a team that beat the Golden Knights back in January when VGK were in New Jersey, and it was one of the games that I think that was as angry and as salty as I had seen Bruce Cassidy in his nearly 2 years coaching this team. So I'm expecting a big response in that one, because I think this team was really disappointed in the way that they played, and we saw the way they came out in the Islander game, the Ranger game. There was that response, but. Yeah.
Well, they should, if they beat Calgary tomorrow night, there should be some swagger back in with them. Will Carrier is back, and you're feeling good about yourself. I think there should be some real confidence going into that homestand.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. And I know we got to let you go because doctor's orders.
Not me, and I want to make that clear. We're working our way back here. I had a really bad case of I had the flu and then strep and then laryngitis. And the laryngitis, they couldn't figure out what was going on, the vocal cords and et cetera. So I've worked my way into, I can do TV, and it gets tired. For those of us that were watching, you can hear it by the end. But this is just a way to get back into it. So I'll do like 20, 25 minutes a day on radio and non-game nights. And then maybe by next week we can expand that. That's the hope by the doctor. I got to tell you guys next week I'm on with Ryan and we're all together. Some of the exercises that I'm doing for my voice and my vocal therapist, Linda. It's really cool. It's different. Never thought I'd be doing this stuff, but it's making me better.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, like, your voice is mine.
It's either.
Yeah, I mean, it's our lifeblood. So, yeah. You know, I will say I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're feeling better. We've missed you. I know the listeners have really missed you. So rest up, and we'll see you on TV tomorrow.
Yeah, I like, listen to you and I. We're like, bonding, man.
Yeah, man, it's great. Like I said, we missed you. I know I've gotten numerous texts from friends. Hey, where's Darren? Is he okay? And I got to keep it a little.
Cabo.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Dave Gosher says I was in Cabo, and he's disappointed in my tan.
Well, be good, maybe he'll sing about that one. Darren's in Cabo.
I will talk to you. We don't have a show Friday, so I will talk to you on Monday again.
All right, buddy. Good to hear from you, and good to have you back, even in a small capacity.
Be well, everybody, and thank you for all the great notes and best wishes.
All right, that's Darren Millard. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to break down last night's win over Seattle a little bit more. You're listening to the VGK Insider Show here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Traffic is brought. This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Chris Chapman filling in for Ryan Wallace, and got to hear a little bit of Darren Millard, who's slowly making his way back to the show. Glad to hear his voice. Good to have him back, even, like I said, in a small capacity. Hopefully we get him back up and running before too long and back to normal, Darren and Ryan. Ryan, on the sick list, he should be. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. If not, you got me again. And we know I love talking to you guys. So you heard the Jack Eichel goal last night. We talked about it with Darren, the play that Alex Pietrangelo made, not only on the offensive end, right? It was a 2-on-1. Golden Knights go down. Pietrangelo shoots that puck. He looked like he scored. He thought he scored. Puts his stick up in the air. And then when he realized he didn't score, he had to put the Jets on to get back and break up that play. Otherwise, it would have been a great opportunity for Seattle to get the 2 points in that one. But it wasn't the best game the Golden Knights have played this season by any stretch, but I think it was a character. I talked to Dan Duva about it last night. It was a bit of a character defining win because it was a game where you had that 2-1 lead going into the third period, and you came out and you had a one minute remaining on a power play and a 2-1 lead, and you're thinking, all right, this is good. The Golden Knights scored a power play goal earlier in the game. Jonathan Marchessault was able to give the Golden Knights a much-needed power play goal, and Seattle kind of turned the table a little bit. They score three straight goals. Matty Beniers, Brandon Tanev, who I originally thought it was Pierre-Edward Belmar who scored that goal for Seattle, and, of course, we know him here, and he plays really big against his former team, and it would have been his seventh goal against the Golden Knights, but they award the goal to Brandon Tanev. And then Oliver Bjorkstrand scores what I think a lot of people would have figured was a game-winning goal. You're thinking, all right, they're down 4-2. There's only 8.5 minutes to go. And I know you never say never, but you think about the Golden Knights and coming back, it's tough with 8.5 minutes to go. But then you get that immediate response by William Karlsson 53 seconds later. And we mentioned Karlsson getting the assist on the Dorofeev goal, but here's a little interesting statistic about William Karlsson and the season he's having. First of all, he was +3 last night, so he did play an excellent game. But something that maybe a surprise, William Karlsson has more goals than he has assists on the season. He's got 23 goals on the year. Of course, career high was 43, but the following year he scored 24 goals, and that was the second most amount of goals that William Karlsson had scored as a member of the Golden Knights. Well, he's only one goal away from that, and he's got 17 games remaining to surpass that. So much like Jonathan Marchessault, who every time he scores a goal will add to his career high in goals, and he's at 37 now, six away from tying William Karlsson for the most goals in team history, seven away from breaking it. You have to think Jonathan Marchessault is going to get there. But the season William Karlsson is having, and he's played with a different group of players, it seems like, every night. And remember, he missed some games as well. He's only played in 53 games this season. And you look at Marchessault, who has played in every game for the Golden... I'm sorry, he has not played in every game for the Golden Knights this season. The only members of the team to do so, to play in every game for the Golden Knights this season, are Braden McNabb and Ivan Barbashev, and McNabb and Barbashev have both played 65. So William Karlsson's missed 12 games for the Golden Knights, and he's still one goal away from having the second most amount of goals that he's had as a member of the Golden Knights. So he's having a really good season as well. But I want you to listen to Bruce Cassidy from last night. The team was off today, so there was no media availability, but I want you to listen to something specific Bruce is going to talk about, where he talks about the continuity and building chemistry, and I'll discuss that with you when we get back. So here's Bruce Cassidy from last night.
Bruce, I'm sure that wasn't as fun for you as it was for the rest of us to watch, but I'm curious what you made of your team's response in the third and overtime.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we weren't ready to play coming out of the second intermission, which is disappointing as a coach. You're on the power play, you have a minute left. We found a way to sort of break them down the previous power play, and we got completely away from that, forced some plays, and it was like we weren't ready to execute, and then it got away from us. But on the flip side of that, now the urgency comes into your game, which was lacking at times tonight, and the guys kind of see what they can do when they, you know, start working together and supporting one another and winning pucks. And of course, we got a nice tip on the on the Marchessault goal, 6-on-5, and that's a good skilled play to allow us to tie it up, and then overtime, obviously.
Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson, that play from Chandler Stephenson that you're mentioning, those being the difference makers, how encouraging is that for you to see at this point?
Well, you know, Marshy's been good. We said it, we need that line to be good. And to be quite honest, I didn't think they were tonight till the end. But that's why it's 60 or 65 minutes sometimes, right? They find their game late. They did execute a good play in the power play, so don't get me wrong there. But 5-on-5, I thought they were fighting it a little, forcing plays, not making the plays they typically do between the blues in the first and second period. But we got going, and that's depth in our lineup, right? Like Carly's line, I thought was good all night, to be honest with you. I mean, I know Pav kind of finds one on the faceoff, but he's done that before for us. He did it last year. So, but they were good most of the night creating offense. And so you need at least a couple lines going. And I think, honestly, Nick Waugh's line did a good job tonight. I think they were minus, but they created some offense as well. So, you know, it was more the defensive side of things that got us in trouble, puck management. But they found their game, those guys, and we need them. Listen, you don't win very often without your best players being your best players, especially if you give up four goals.
Strand scores to put them up 4-2, and then William scores like less than a minute later. What did you see from that shift from that group that sort of...
Well, the third goal gave us, you know, we were able to stay on top of them and keep pucks alive, right, in the forecheck. If I remember, Theo went down, pinched, kept a, I don't know, if I forget which left winger it was, sort of takes the puck back, and then we win control of it, right? Now we make a play. So that's the urgency we need in our game all the time, where we're on top of people. I think we're a good skating team. We're big, and it comes and goes for us. And you know, you see it tonight on some of the other goals they get behind us, or the neutral zone face-off goal. We're just not on top of people, and you know, and they bury it. So, but it was a big goal. It gave us life. Now you got, listen, whatever it was, 6 minutes. You just need one. And this is what happened to us a little bit on our previous road trip. We'd do this, and then we'd give up the next one, make it 5-3 instead of us hanging in there and giving ourselves a chance at the end. And today we did that better.
Are there conversations that you're noticing on the bench during those moments, or that's leading to that better response now?
I think there was lots of confidence on the bench. I heard a number of guys saying, hey, you know, we're still in it. Let's go. Let's pick, you know, like, it's encouraging, but also, you know, pushing the guys, and you got to challenge your teammates sometimes. So, and then you get the Carly goal, and then it really gives you life, right? Now you're in a 6-minute hockey game. And I thought we did a good job after that. You started generating. I think Marshy had a good look too, right before that. He was over the net before his empty netter. So we were getting some pucks back and getting inside. You just never know if you're going to run out of, you know, racetrack, and we're able to get it done. I thought they iced the puck too in that sequence, and we end up, I guess it works for our advantage because we get down there and get it in and go to work. But end of the day, we haven't scored a lot in those situations this year. I'll say this, we're getting better. Stevie, I think, got one in Ottawa. It was the last time. And so it's starting to happen a little better for us. Our support's better.
Sure, resiliency against Detroit, Bruce. Now you're down 2 goals tonight with 7 minutes left, and you come back and win the game. What can this mean moving forward?
Well, it gives your team confidence. You're never out of a game. Remember, I'm the coach, so I'm going to look at what happened at the start of the second, third period a lot more than the end to make sure that we're not, don't put ourselves in that position. We have a one goal lead. You want to play the right way and not, you know, sort of give them the chances they got. But I do believe that you're going to have to win some games like that and believe you can. So, you know, those things are important.
All right, that was Bruce Cassidy from last night talking about the win over the Seattle Kraken. Obviously, not entirely thrilled with the way that the team played, but happy with the result, as we all should be. One of the things that he didn't mention there, but I had heard him mention earlier in the day, is now that there's guys coming back into the lineup, it's going to be a situation where there's competition for spots. And if a guy has an off night, he might find himself on the bench the next game. So going to be something to watch. But we got to take a break. We'll be back after this. Ashley Watkins from Sam and Ash joins us for the Legal Minute. You're listening to the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
All right, it's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. We bring in Ashley Watkins from Sam and Ash. And Ash is one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter. If you don't follow her, you should, because she knows all the great food spots in town, and she's not ashamed to talk about it. So I think that's a great introduction, Ash. How are you today?
I'm great, Chris. I've got a food recommendation.
Really? Really? I'm all here for it.
So I don't know if we've talked about it on your show or not, but in T-Mobile, when I go to VGK games, my favorite little spot is the Forte Sausage Cart. They do these beer brats that are just incredible. So that's my food tip for all the VGK fans going to games.
That's that. You know what? I have not had that. You know what I used to like? There used to be the sushi bowl that was right outside where the what's the burger place? Not Five Guys
Shake Shack?
Smash Burger. Shake Shack. It was right across from Shake Shack, and there was a little sushi. I think it was called Tail and Fin, or Fin and Tail.
Oh.
It's gone now, and I think they had a store up in Summerlin, which unfortunately I think is gone as well, but that was a really good little healthy thing to grab before a game. Now when I go down there, when I venture down there, I got to get there early because I don't like waiting in line. But the barbecue Mexicana is really good as well. So for those of you listening, go to games. Trust me, I like to eat the barbecue Mexicana place. Really, really worth it. It's delicious. But I could sit here and talk food with you all day, but that's not why you're here. So, Ash, there's always, it seems like sports and law always seem to interchange. And, you know, when you watch the news, there's always stories that pop up. And me as a Jet fan, not a University of Michigan guy, but a New York Jet fan, Braylon Edwards was a guy who I was a big fan of when he played for the Jets. He was part of some really good New York Jets teams. But he found himself in the news recently because he saved a man's life who was being assaulted at a YMCA. For those who missed the story, Braylon Edwards intervened to stop an alleged attack on an 80-year-old man in a locker room at a Detroit YMCA on Friday. The incident occurred when a verbal exchange between a 20-year-old man identified as Malik Ali Smith and the 80-year-old man turned into a physical fight, which left the 80-year-old in critical but stable condition at a local hospital, police said. Edwards said he saw the alleged assailant grab the back of the victim's head by the hair, and he was about to slam it down on the counter. Edwards then said he grabbed the young man and subdued him. Smith was arrested after fleeing the gym on Monday. Authorities charged him with assault with intent to murder, which carries a maximum sentence of life in prison. He was given a $250,000 cash bond, is being held at the Oakland County Jail in Michigan. So there's a lot to unpack here, but the first thing I got to ask you, is there a good Samaritan law in place where Edwards, by intervening, if he had injured this Malik Ali Smith, he would have been held liable in any way?
So generally speaking, the good Samaritan laws, they protect people. They want people to help when there's danger. And so if he had caused any further injury to the old man or to the person he was subduing by trying to intervene, as long as people would think he was acting in a reasonable manner, he's going to be protected under these Good Samaritan laws. This is a terrible case, facts to read about. So luckily for that old man that he was there to protect him.
Yeah, it's a really, like, I mean, we could call it what it is. I mean, this is it's disgusting behavior for first of all, for anyone to assault an 80-year-old man is vile. But for a guy who's 60 years younger than him to basically try to kill him over a verbal confrontation, I mean, there's really no words to describe that. But It's crazy to think what may have happened if Edwards had not been there. But obviously there's going to be criminal charges filed against Malik Ali Smith. They've already been charged, or he's already been charged, I should say. But what type of civil lawsuit could there be that arises from this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the victim, he definitely has a civil case for the injuries and damages he sustained from Ali Smith, the gentleman who attacked him. The problem with pursuing that civil lawsuit is, how do you get paid? An insurance company is not going to pay for intentional acts like an assault. And it's unlikely, since the news article says he's still sitting in jail, that he was able to post that bond. So you're likely not going to recover any judgment against him. What I would do if I was representing the victim here is I would look to see if the YMCA was aware that this assailant had a criminal history, had gotten into physical altercations previously, if they knew he was a danger to other people and had an obligation to protect their members from him, then that would be an interesting lawsuit to pursue, because, of course, the YMCA would have insurance and pockets to pursue and go after for a judgment.
So could the Y in this situation be held liable if they were aware of this Malik Ali Smith having a background and possibly having had issues with other members of the Y previously?
Yeah, absolutely. Business owners, they have an obligation to ensure that their patrons, the people they invite onto their property are reasonably safe. And so if you're aware of a dangerous situation or a dangerous individual, you're required under law to take reasonable steps to protect your other patrons from that person, whether it's keeping them out of the property, you know, revoking membership, hiring security, or doing other similar things. Absolutely, the YMCA could be on the hook. Again, we don't have enough facts just from this news story, but if they were aware of the dangerous nature of this attacker, they could see a lawsuit.
That's really, really interesting stuff. I mean, I was never aware of that. Of course, YMCA, I don't know how it works in Michigan or other places, but here you have to pay a monthly fee to be a member and to use the facilities. I used to go and play basketball up in Durango at the Y up there. But is there anything that Edwards would need to be concerned about in this particular situation?
No, I mean, sure, someone could try to sue him if he caused further injury, like we discussed earlier, but as a good Samaritan, he would have a great defense to any of those types of claims. But the only thing he might see is an excessive force, but I doubt it from what I've read.
That's great, great stuff, Ash. Real quick, before I let you go, have you had that sandwich place that just opened up in the Uncommons? It's next level stuff, and it's imported from Italy. Apparently only three locations in or outside of Italy. There's one in New York, I think a couple in Los Angeles, and now we have one here. But if you haven't, head over there for lunch one day, because it's fantastic stuff.
I've been, Chris. I've checked it out. But I'm going to give a locals tip to go check out Panino on South Decatur. Check out Panino. It's a authentic, owned Italian shop making incredible sandwiches. So that's my alternate suggestion to you.
I want you to know, Vanessa is here on location with me at the Golden Circle, and she's giving me the thumbs up. She's been there. She says, go check it out. So that is one I'm going to have to check out now. Ashley, thanks so much for jumping on. How can people find you, and how do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, anyone can find us at samandashlaw.com or call us 702-820-1234. We're here 24/7, 7 days a week. When you need us, we're here.
Awesome stuff, Ash. We will talk to you next week, and have a great week.
Likewise, guys. Bye.
Thank you. That was Ashley Watkins from Sam and Ash Law. You can check them out at samandashlaw.com, and you could reach them at 702-820-1234. We'll be back with Jesus Lopez, the Spanish voice of the Golden Knights, after this. You're listening to the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
This has been the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com, because you deserve what's right.